Hey, hey, it's the Pretty Corrupt Podcast, your inside guide to celebrity scandals and the reality of reality TV. I'm Jordan Ross Myers, the man behind Twitter's notorious Don Gumbelson and Lee Roswell. Along with my co-hosts, Stacey Noel Connor and Nate Safer, welcome to the Bravo Breakdown. Time to raise our glasses high. This episode's for you tonight.
Catchy.
Oh my gosh.
I can hear it in my head. That's perfect. That's just far enough. We're not going to get sued for that. You're way too far off key.
Yeah. Who do we know in the music industry to get you a job, to get you in there? Come on.
Hey, I think with my nicotine soaked, what's a low voice?
Baritone bass.
I could be a backup singer for Countess Luann's Cabaret. I think we're at the same, like,
yeah, almost. I think you'd be good.
I mean, actually,
you have the same amount of vocal fry, silhouettes. Too.
Fine. Yeah, yeah. What is it? Money. When entering a room, greet everyone, and soon you'll be entitled and invited to the grandeur. See, I can do it. She has a show coming up, I think, in March in the Wiltern here in LA.
I'll fly up.
Maybe we should go. Maybe.
Let's do it.
I know. And then the whole idea is, don't tell her, but when I'm like singing along in the audience and the spotlight pans to me because they can't tell our voices apart, I'll be the count. I don't know where this is going, but yeah. I guess we should start with Vanderpump Rules.
I'm so excited. So excited. It's my new favorite show. Yeah.
I got into it this episode because, you know, I've watched this show from day one. But I am, you know, it takes me time to get invested in a show that isn't about like a Richard Hilton but this past episode got me going. I really started forming strong opinions.
Well, I am three episodes into my fandom, and I'm not going to lie. I kind of like it. I kind of like this show.
I told you, though, I
clearly, this happens also with Beverly Hills. I tuned in on the wrong season because evidently, like, none of them drink anymore. They're all sober, like almost just about every single person. So I imagine that takes some of the fun out of it. And all the relationships are so fractured that I don't even know what those relationships were. No, everybody hates everybody, or at least it seems like there's a lot going on there. So,
this is why when Scandoval happened and broke, so many more people got into it and they came to it and they started watching it on Peacock, like from the first season.
Yeah,
and it just got this huge bump.
I should have done that because now I'm watching a show where just not everybody hates each other, but so many of them hate each other. And, I don't find any of them particularly likable. Like any people, no. I guess Lisa, I mean, but she's like the matriarch mother figure. Like she's not in enough to seem unlikable, but she's like the voice of reason. And poor Anne. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, I feel for poor Anne.
We love Anne.
Did you say she's a newer-ish character? Like, is she not somebody that had before?
No, they didn't have her on. Apparently she's been Tom's assistant before Scandoval happened, from what I understand. So she was Tom's assistant, and then Scandoval broke. She felt really bad, but she then was still his assistant.
Oh.
And then apparently now the rumor is that she is now Ariana's assistant.
I was going to say, from just watching it, it seemed like she worked for them equally.
She bought the batteries. She bought the toilet paper. You don't know what I'm talking about, but everybody else knows what I'm talking about.
I do not, but I trust you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you will, like, you'll have to go back. I think you should go back and watch it. Take your time and start watching it because you'll be like, oh, this is great. But this is also why, and we'll talk about this show later, this is why Southern hospitality is great, because it is like VPR the old days. But it took, it still took, people dissed VPR for a while, or Pump Rules, you know, for a while. And then it took, so some people aren't quite on top of Southern hospitality, but I go, we know where VPR is now. This is where Southern hospitality.
Okay, so you're saying,
so,
okay,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not letting you get me in a third show. I'm not letting this happen. You somehow snuck two in on me, and I'm not happy about it. But yeah,
The way VPR came about, it kind of bridged a few needs or voids in the reality world. It was because we had tons of housewives on Bravo, and then it was a more youthful demographic, more humble demographic, and it also brought in, I think The Hills was ending at that point, and they needed that like young Hollywood kind of up it. So it kind of perfect storm, you know what I mean? I think it's brought in a different demographic to Bravo. It's not just your mom's network at that point. It was like younger people watching.
Well, I was thinking that when I was watching VPR, I'm like, okay, they seem younger and more fun than the Beverly Hills crowd. But then it occurred to me, these people aren't younger. They're my age. They're in their 40s. But they're not kids. They were young kids when the show started, but they're not young kids now.
Is what I mean. Yeah, when it started, it was like,
oh, yeah, yeah. No, but I'm saying, like, even now watching it, they seem younger and more energetic than the housewives, even though their age difference isn't that big from the housewives. They just seem younger. And I can only imagine what they were like 13 years ago.
This is the thing, is that it's more of the glamorous blue collar set, if we want to say that, like, because they work in hospitality, or that's what they started off in. I mean, and it's that aspirational thing of what I think a lot of people do, of like people who want to be artists, who want to be actors, who want to be musicians or models and stuff like that. And that's a main focus, especially of the first three seasons. I mean, of them working there, but they want to be musicians, they want to be actors, models, things like that. So it's very aspirational.
It's weird seeing like the flashbacks, when they show flashbacks of happier times, and I look at it, I'm like, oh, I kind of do want to go back and watch it. But you know how I am with binging. I can't binge. I'm like, I'm never going to get around to that. I'm lucky I'm keeping up with the new season, much less going back 10 seasons. But I enjoy it. I'm not going to lie, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it.
I think if you watched the first season and then season 3 or 4, that might be, those might be some good like seminal seasons, because the first season sets it up and then you would be like, oh, okay, except for like Stassi and Jax aren't on there, there's a couple other people, but it kind of sets it up, the drama, and you'll be like, oh, okay, here we go, and you'd see the beginning.
Other fun thing about this group is, for the most part, I know Stassi's gone, Jax and Kristen are coming back, but it is weird. These people are so toxic from day one and it's been on so long. By now, they would have been like three friend circles ago. But because of this job, this lucrative fame, they're still stuck together, feasting on each other's souls. I don't think in real life these people would still be. I think some of them would have moved to like Nashville or like Texas, but you know, like started a new life, Utah, found religion, something, but no, they're bound. They're bound by the blood of Sir.
I was just taking notes because I have to keep up with these characters and whatnot, so I take notes as I'm watching, and I'm like 73 or 74% sure that James's accent is fake. Like, are we sure he's British? Because that sounds put on to me. I don't believe he's British.
If you hadn't seen previous episodes with his father, who is definitely his father, then I would agree with you. But No, he is British. I think it's just, you know, he's been in the States for so long. It's a little bit Doritatized.
Okay. Okay. So. Is that it? Because like yeah. I'm watching this episode. And, okay. Is it Sheena or Shayna?
Sheena.
I hate to mispronounce it.
Sheena.
Sheena. That's what I thought. Okay. Like, so Sheena is Marcus Mumford looking husband or boyfriend, husband, whatever. he looks just like him. That accent, I believe, is real. Whereas he's from, like, he's like a Kiwi or something.
He's from Australia.
That accent
he's Australian.
Is real. Is he from Australia? Okay. But I do
and,
not
and
believe
he he used to look like Jason Momoa because he used to have really long hair, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Mumford's a downgrade from Momoa, but Mumford's still, he's still an attractive man. He's still an attractive man.
True. Have you noticed he has four fingers on one hand?
No.
No.
Did a koala
like,
bite?
Totally missing finger or just like knuckle?
He had like an industrial like work accident and he lost one of his fingers. I think either his one of his middle finger or his ring finger, something like that. He has four fingers on one of his hands.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. Now, yeah. Well, now that's all I'm going to focus on.
Mm-hmm. You're going to be looking for it now.
Yeah.
Nate,
okay.
Why do you need to go back and see? Cause I want to rewatch from day one. Cause I caught it this episode where it was, Sheena's talking about why she has to confront Sandoval, right? Was it Sandoval? Schwartz. Mm-hmm. And she's like, it's because Ariana's my best friend. She has said every single person, it's by the way, none of them are her best friend. They don't like her. Let's just be honest. There have been many seasons. Everyone has mistreated her. They think she's needy. She's like a third grader. Every episode, someone's her lifelong best friend. This time it was Ariana, but I was just like, when she said that, I closed my eyes and could just hear a montage throughout the years. Schwartz is my best friend. Sandoval's my best friend.
well, hold up. I dare to quibble with you a little bit, but I agree, disagree, because like first season, Ariana was not technically on the show. She was featured in a couple of episodes, but that was the only person Sheena called her best friend because Ariana was like a backup dancer for that performance that she gave and things like that. And then when Ariana moved from Villa Blanca to Sir in season two, that was her best friend. Now, yes, Sheena does call everybody her best friend. And as she moved into the group, my thing this episode was the whole thing about Katie and Sheena being best friends and like their relation. And I was like, excuse me, Katie and Sheena have hated each other most of these years. In fact, I can only think of maybe one season where they got along an entire season because always Sheena does something that undermines Katie or Katie does something that Sheena doesn't like. Like these people, they try to like each other, but if they were not on this show, they would not interact with each other ever.
You know why Katie has to welcome Sheena right now? It's because Katie's always been a beta. She always is subservient. It used to be Stassi who hated Sheena. So they treated her like a joke and were mean girls to her. Stassi's out. Katie's never been the full alpha star. Now Ariana's her point girl. And since Ariana is best friends with Sheena, she is going to answer to Ariana and welcome Sheena.
I mean, if you watch like the first like 2 to 3 seasons, Katie, you're like, who is Katie? Like, why is she even here? Because she is so overshadowed by Stassi and Kristen and Sheena. And then not really Ariana, but 100%. Like, you're like, who is Katie? Why is she even here? It's not really until like she starts beefing more with Sheena and then she and Schwartz get married. Do things start like kind of escalating?
I know, and you've told me this before, and I'm still looking at the show with like the virgin eyes, so I don't know, you know, which people.
Which is so beautiful.
I know, right? Like a newborn baby.
Yeah.
I just feel Schwartz just makes me sad. Like I just feel sad for him. Like I don't know. You said like a lot of it is his own doing, but But if you, if I mean, so it's hard for you to detach yourself to say like you've only met this character three episodes ago, but he just like the in the premiere when he just wanted a hug from everybody, I'm like, just give this man a hug. He might as well have a sad trombone every time he shows up in a scene. It just makes me sad for him. So I just want to give the guy a hug, man. He just seems like a sweet soul. And again, I don't know anything that happened before this season, but he just seems so sad.
I can't wait for you to see a couple seasons ago when Tom Sandoval in full blown drag says that Schwartz is like a battered housewife, that Katie abuses him. He's like, look at him. Look at him. He's like a battered housewife. And he's in a wig.
They did a flashback.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that.
They did a flashback. I feel like, yeah.
You know,
yeah, but you have to see that because they did drag for his bachelor party. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is fun. Actually the first time this episode, the second episode, I wasn't here last week, where I got to see, the first time I've ever seen Sandoval talk. Because prior to that, it was all pictures, and I've seen video of him perform, but I've never seen him on VPR, like on camera. So I didn't realize how just unlikable he truly is. So he's from St. Louis, as I'm sure y'all know. In St. Louis, in the Midwest, we have a thing, especially in St. Louis, where if you meet somebody here or meet somebody in like LA or somewhere else, the first thing you say is, oh, what high school did you go to? It's just like a Midwest thing. Mm-hmm. And I had to look up what high school Sandoval went to. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, yep, that tracks. That is exactly where I would have guessed Tom Sandoval went. And no offense to Hazelwood West High School. Go Wildcats. But you know what you are. And that is Tom Sandoval. and to be fair, I get shit too. Whenever I tell people Clayton High, oh yes, I get a ton of shit. But I accept it. It's deserved.
At least Andy Cohen went to Clayton High.
Yeah. Well, okay. So yeah, picture wherever Andy Cohen went, that's where I went. You can picture it. We deserve we deserve our record. That's fair.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So this episode, you finally got to see Tom Sandoval and you got to see him show up to the now defunct pump. And as Lisa's going through and she's so sad because it's empty, but it's still full of shit. But, you know, he shows up and
has a flower with this sad little flower.
I liked what he said with that. He's like, I know it's like bringing sand to a beach with you. I'd be intimidated to bring Lisa Vanderpump flowers. She has a mansion full of, she does her own bouquets. I mean, she's really talented. That's not put on for the show. Yeah. That's like, what do you bring her? Wine, diamonds, flowers? I mean, yeah. At least he acknowledged that.
I mean, he's trying to buy Ariana out of the house, so he can't afford much more than flowers.
No. But what I mean is, what do you give Lisa Vanderpump? I'd feel like anything I gave her, unless it was like a pony with a Hermes saddle, wouldn't be good enough. She has it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree. But what did you think, Nate, finally seeing him and seeing the way that he acted and justified himself, the way he escalated also his justification to her?
It was very funny to me that every time he entered a room, somebody would mutter under their breath, shit. Just every time he walked, like Lisa even kind of did it when she was on the phone at pump, I think with Ken, I think, yeah, her husband. And he walked in and she was just like, shit. Mm-hmm. And when he walks in at the, was that Tom Tom or where were they? Sir. They went there, sir, at the end. And then somebody looked up from the group and saw him and was like, oh, fuck, he's here. And that's the kind of welcome I want anytime I walk into a room.
that's the welcome I get. So that thing with Sir, though, like when they all got together for that night, I mean, it's so put, I mean, they're all there for a job, like that. I want to see, I'm excited to see next week. No one is going to hold out from that trip. It's part of their contract to go. Oh, hey.
But it was so awkward, the planning of it. Like where Schwartz is like, hey, let's all go to Tahoe. Sandoval's coming too. Let's go, guys. And everybody's like, no. What? No. Yeah. No. But of course they're going to go. Of course they
Yeah,
go.
Yeah. I mean, it's part of
the, I did think Ariana was being... Now, I'm all here for Ariana being petty, but I do think she was being a little too... unreasonable. Maybe that's not exactly the right word, but like
full just being of herself. Like,
yeah. Tyrannical. Yeah. There was a little bit of like, I don't know if tyrannical, I would use the word tyrannical, but
no, maybe not.
But I'm all for like, I don't want to go, but you know, I don't know. That kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. We all know she's going to go. She's going to figure out a way. They're going to figure out something. But I'm still just kind of like, oh my gosh.
The reason they're really going is there's, you know how Vanderpump has restaurants at Caesars in Vegas. Well, there's a Caesars complex in Tahoe. So she's opening a restaurant. So they'll just like... I bet you what they'll do is put Ariana up at a suite in the Caesars Tahoe, while the others, unless flip it and they'll sequester Sandoval to Caesars and Ariana will be with the group. One or the other. Mm-hmm. But I give Schwartz credit for that. When he said, you're not, what did he say? You're not the queen of this group. You don't need it. Because she's like, he will not be in my circle. And that's where I was like, yeah, he kind of made, he spoke up, which he really does.
Yeah.
And she went right into what some critics of hers have been saying, which is like, when did she become God? Vanderpump said that with the whole sit downs you were talking about earlier at the rest at Pump as it was closing. And she said about, she said to Schwartz, it's hard feeling sorry. It's hard punishing Sandoval and feeling sorry for Ariana when she's living her best life at this point. She's out doing Broadway commercials. And the way she keeps trying to punish him with that pettiness, even, you know, it's a little hard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just have to, though, keep thinking this is truly only like maybe 4 months after she found out about everything. So I do think we have to keep that in check, though, too. Like, this is 4 months after your relationship of almost a decade has just blown up in your face. So I do want to kind of keep that in check just a little bit of like, yeah, I still think she's allowed to be petty, but I do think there is a little bit of like, she could easily just say, well, I don't want to go. Everybody else can go, but I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Like, see, if she, because she knows she's filming a show. And we all know that the fourth wall has already been broken on this. So it's very easy for her to say, look, all of y'all can go, do your thing, but I'm not going to go. I don't have to go. And fine, she doesn't.
It's a test of her clout, both in the on the show, on camera, who will follow her and step out and stay back or refuse to go, or how they'll work these out. But it's also a test of her clout behind the scenes, because now obviously she's this huge star of it. And if she's trying to refuse to film and get other people to refuse to film with Sandoval, I'm not sure, is her angle trying to ice him off the show? Because that's what housewives do to each other. By saying, you can't film with us. I don't want you there. It's a way to...
I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about her trying to tell people that they can't film with him
by making
I'm not saying that's not happening.
By making the trip complicated and kind of saying he can't come here, I don't want him invited here. It is a way in Housewives world of icing someone off the show. But just kind of like the house... She is in a unique position where he's now equally notorious. He's not loved like her, but he's a huge part of the story. She can't get him out of the house or the show. So it is an awkward thing for her. It is awkward. I was starting to like her a little bit more this episode when I was thinking about how petty she's being. And that is something I respect in people. And so,
yes, it is.
First I was annoyed by it when I was thinking, like, ugh, they treat her like this saint, and I can't stand that. But when I started thinking of her as a villain and all this, I was like, oh, I like what you're doing. It's when they coddle her. That's when it annoys me. When they treat any reality star like a saint or a martyr, I'm like, it's a paycheck. They've lasted this long because they're not great people. But when I started seeing her as an evil genius playing a game of chess to ruin his life, then I was like, okay, Ariana, you get a pass.
But also, remember, Jordan, the higher they rise, the farther they fall, too. Mm-hmm. And you enjoy that as well. And a lot of people do.
Yeah. I know. I mean, the fact that, like I was saying earlier, that Vanderpump kind of gave the audience permission to start turning on her. Well, she's living her best life. We can't keep hounding Sandoval this way. It was like kind of opened the floodgates there.
Yeah. I mean, but look, my only thing, though, I rolled my eyes at that because Lisa always is on the boys' side. Mm-hmm. She's always given all the guys every season. She's given Jax a million things. I mean, yeah. So, like, I don't disagree with her, but I don't agree with her, if that makes sense at all.
It is true. I have noticed that she's a bit, she's definitely harder. I was trying to picture like what the equation would be like. It'd be like, if two of them screwed up, it would be like, Kristen, you stupid, dumb slut. And then it would be like, Jax, you naughty little boy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Boys will be boys.
That's exactly what she is. She's not a girl's girl, as they would say on Love Island.
Yeah. No, she's not. She definitely. I mean, different show, but Erica kind of called that out at that dinner with Tom Girardi when they had her and Ken. She was like, she loves being seen as a, what was it? It was the sniper from the side one, but she was like, she loves being seen as formidable. She loves that my husband speaks to her. You know what I mean? She is a guy's girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Beverly Hills, this Mother's Day brunch at Anne Marie's was a lot of diamonds, some fake rosé.
I understand it was like a sponsorship deal, clearly, but what the fuck? You have Jason the jeweler there with $3.5 million necklaces and $1 million rings, and you have Korbel champagne.
Right?
I don't know if Korbel has levels, but that label that I saw, that's a $13 bottle of champagne. Yeah. That's a $3.5 million necklace and a $13. What the hell?
What? And also, like, she spent a lot of that catering was gorgeous. Yeah. That was beautiful catering. Yeah. I was impressed. I was like, look at this. You're in your modern farmhouse. I mean, this could have been Jackson Brittany's or Katie and Schwartz's home or even Ariana and Tom's home. I mean, basically, it's a cookie cutter of all their homes is what she's living in, just bigger in an Encino. But gorgeous catering, gorgeous diamonds, and then fucking Korbel. You couldn't even get Vuv?
Position.
Like, come on.
Okay, and the thing, I didn't think of that, Nate. Maybe it was sponsored ship.
It had
because
to have
the way it was.
It had to have been.
Because there were other bottles off to the side. There was some Vuv, Clicquot, and stuff. It just scattered about. But Korbel held the place of honor in every shot facing forward at the tables where they were filming. No, that's like...
It just stood out. It just... Everything else about that screamed expense, except for the...
Yeah, cheaped out on the liquor. So you're probably right. It may have been an arrangement, because normally what they do at those kind of events, they're not going to serve $80 bottles of wine all day to hundreds of people. But what they'll do, they'll start out with that for filming. And then later, as people get drunk, they have Prosecco or Korbel poured in the kitchen and brought out on trays. But she was displaying it like a Birkin. I mean, they were everywhere.
Well, you know, the one person that certainly didn't need it was my lady love, who brought her own roadie, a heavy poured roadie at that. Yeah. Like, oh my God, I didn't think I could love my beloved Sutton even more, but good God, showing up with a roadie. And then when she's like pouring the vodka, like the bartenders or the servers just didn't know what to do with her. She's like pouring her own drinks in the kitchen. She's just a delight. Delight.
she was on one, yeah. Honestly.
She got the gratuitous blurred side boob out. You know, like she had the little blurring. I was like, oh, okay, all right. Now we're okay, Sutton. All right, let's go.
But how did you feel about her date? Did you get jealous?
Steve, I believe his name was, seemed mm-hmm. like a perfectly lovely gentleman. I did not like that she went on a second date because that's hurting my chances a bit. I especially did not like that their second date was at one of my former hangouts.
Right?
Surly Goat. Mm.
Yes, the goat, it's one of our places.
So her first date with Sal a couple episodes ago, mm-hmm. they went to La Boheme. This time they go to the goat. These are all within like a block of where I lived for
and
years.
And me, yeah.
And you, yes. And
Nate and I were neighbors, like, basically. So yeah.
And so I see that goat logo. I'm like, God damn it. Mm-hmm. God damn it. I have to lose my lady love to this. And she knows how to throw darts. Ah, oh, she shows up with her own cran. I mean, I just love her. God damn it, I love her.
It sounds.
She doesn't even remember her horse's. She can't even tell which horse is hers.
This is why you need to come back to Los Angeles, Nate. Hello, we've got to get you here so you can woo her.
She did like.
I would at least know that Celine Dion doesn't design purses.
Thank you.
I would know that.
She
Thank
did
you.
Like.
It was funny. It was kind of funny. But
she
yeah.
did like PCP's IG story this week, and she sent some very cute emojis with cats laughing. So there's a chance she knows you exist.
The trap is. Yeah. The game is afoot.
I'll give her that. She does reply to stories in a friendly manner. Some housewives, I don't know, maybe Carol Radswell, choose to pretend we don't exist. But Sutton's friendly. Sutton engages. She doesn't just leave you on red like some housewives do. Yeah.
I will say I do have a bit of a mea culpa because in previous episodes I have said that I was willing to be proven wrong, but I didn't think that Anne-Marie had worked as a nurse anesthetist since she had at least gotten engaged or married. Mm-hmm. But in this episode we saw her in her work outfit at work. So it looks like, unless she spent a lot of money to like and con somebody into like making it look like she worked, she was at work. Mm-hmm. So I am wrong. She does still work.
Well, no, I am actually on board with what you just said, where this is still a long scene. Yeah. Because that office she was in, that looked like office space you could rent. And honestly, the thing that I noticed immediately was that she was on a FaceTime with, I believe, her husband.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think she was on it because she was talking about how she's going to have to talk to Crystal, this and that. She was wearing her scrubs. She was wearing a surgical hat, full makeup, jewelry. Mm-hmm. If you're going to try to put on this sham of if you're a doctor and or nurse, you're not going into surgery full makeup. I get it. You're on camera. But like at least put on a charade. Like you know, like even on Kardashians, like when Kris Jenner acts like she's working out, she puts on low key makeup. Mm. You know, like True. a nurse or a doctor is not going into surgery, and she was already wearing the cap and scrubs, not going in looking like that.
Well, sometimes you
know? I was like, this is fake.
They do. I mean, they do fake these scenes. It may have been her office. I think what she is, I don't know the medical terms. I don't work in the field or the logistics, but I think she's kind of like a freelance nurse. I don't think she works in one specific office. I think she's
right. Cause like, Nicole, Dr. Nicole on Miami, she works at a specific hospital and she works for that hospital. And I think Tiffany Moon from Dr. Tiffany Moon from Dallas, she worked at a specific hospital as well. So Anne Marie may not. She may work for a medical group or something like that.
And it also may not be full-time. Something. Maybe it is part-time or something.
But I did say I didn't think that she had worked. So it looks like she does work. So I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong at times.
I have to. At first,
but I would be willing. But if Nate is right, then I'm willing to take that too. I'm willing to take it.
Yeah.
I give Anne-Marie credit because she put out quite a spread and she almost hit the nail on that, like, perfectly, except for the balance. It's just she had those diamonds. Jason of Beverly Hills is a real like he does like Super Bowl rings and stuff for like Saudi royals. I mean, big stuff. The budget was obvious.
Saudi royals get Super Bowl rings?
No. I mean, he does like all kinds of jewel international. Yeah.
Right.
And then the thing, and she put out quite a spread. That budget must have been huge. But with these women, like we were talking about, you don't need a lot of food with them, but you need top shelf liquor. She could have cut back on one of those seafood towers or the $30,000 charcuterie table and bought some name brand liquor.
What show? Was it Beverly Hills or maybe it was something else? There was some other housewife show I was watching recently and they were at a party and there was barely any food and they were complaining. And so it doesn't matter.
Was it a New York reboot?
Well, I mean, yeah, in New York reboot, they did that. But no, it was maybe it was even Housewives Girls Trip, the New York legacy, like the back to Scary Island one, where it was like there was barely any food and, you know, Ramona was complaining or something like that. It doesn't matter whether or not they're eating the food. The food should always be an option.
Yeah.
That's what you have. You just have to spend. It's about spending the money.
Bountiful. But the fact that she cut back.
Exactly.
Unless, like you said, it was a sponsorship, which is starting to make sense. But you know what, really? I mean, I think it was I was really impressed. So I have to give her credit. It was a nice event. It was Erica, though. Why is she doing it? Why is she continuing on with her? Not an apology to her. It's the reverse. The demanding apology to her.
Yeah.
She's built up a lot of goodwill this season.
Right? She's like this close to redemption. And then it's like two steps forwards and five steps back.
I love Kyle's face when it happened. Did you see when they're all sitting in the group and Erica's addressing the pain they've caused her and how she would like an apology? She wants them to apologize to her for the orphans and widows. I'm sorry. That's at the end of the day, that's – and whether she was hurt, which I get, because maybe she's not as guilty as everyone thought, whatever. The fact that it still doesn't register with her how many lives were ruined, and she wants everyone to stand up and applaud her because she still might get to keep her $1 million earrings. And that's what was wrong, and that's her axe to grind. It's still tone deaf beyond. Mm-hmm. Kyle's face was my favorite part of it. She's like,
And I stand my Sagittarius Queen Garcelle, who was like unapologetic of like, I stand by it because, you know, I think she has compassion for Erica, but she has more compassion for the widows and orphans, for everybody.
Which is where it should be.
And I watched Housewives and the Hustler Part 2 on Hulu, and that was interesting. Anyway, I won't go all into that, but that was interesting. So, anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was magnanimous of Sutton to apologize to –
Oh, she, that's she, that's the way she is. She's just good. She's
your lady love. Well, we teased about this in like the first kind of part where we were talking about Pump Rules and how it used to be the first season. So now I talked about Southern Hospitality. I talked about, I'm bringing Southern Hospitality, even though neither one of you watch it, but Southern Hospitality, its season finale happened this weekend and or this week, and it was great. I mentioned last week that there's this character, Maddie, and she has this cheating boyfriend, and she hasn't believed any of her friends that he's been cheating on her and stuff. And this episode was a perfect example of how production doesn't necessarily set up the drama, but stars, cast members can set up the drama, because Maddie, a couple of episodes ago, her cheating boyfriend Trevor comes and like picks her up dramatically from Miami after this huge fight with everybody else, with the rest of the cast, after they call her out for lying on this guy, Bradley, who she had accused of cheating on the girl that he was seeing the year before. He picks her up and he shows her a phone call that he had with the girl that he supposedly cheated on her with. So, and then she's so upset about it, and she plays it for one of her best friend at the place, this guy Joe. She plays it for him, and she's so upset. She's so upset. She's like, oh my God, this proves that Bradley set me up, because the girl seems to admit that like that she and Bradley set Trevor up to make it look like he cheated on her, and yada, yada, yada. And then turns out in the finale episode, the girl that Trevor cheated on Maddie with comes to the finale party. Of course, Bradley invites her, and her and Maddie kind of confront each other, but really it's Maddie confronting her because Maddie's crazy. I'm just going to say it. And she goes, honey, I was on that call with Trevor. I heard everything. And we're like, wait a minute, what? Everybody's like, what? And so then in her confessional, the producer's like, you're saying that you were on that call with Trevor? And she was like, well, yeah, I was on that call because it was like, okay, wait a minute. You didn't tell Joe that you were on that call. You didn't tell anybody else. You're saying that, like, so you set up this girl. You re-edited a conversation. You only played about like a minute of it for Joe and made it sound like she admitted to like cheating. Whereas this girl's like, no, I didn't admit to cheating. I was very uncomfortable. Like, I felt bad for like what happened and everything like that. So this was a perfect example of how cast members can set themselves up and then make it look like production can set things up. Am I making sense at all here? Yeah. I know it's a lot for like, if you don't watch the show, to like follow these people.
But like with Southern Charm, I'm sorry, with Salt Lake City, how maybe production didn't know, but Heather Gay and the women kept the story within their own to surprise people on TV.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying, is that sometimes these things happen behind the scenes, off camera, unmiked, and then they set these things up. I mean, it's great drama. It's fabulous drama for the show, but it's not always production thinking of these things. Mm-hmm. This girl, Maddie's very manipulative. She's great. She's a great character for shows. But the season before, she full on lied about this guy Bradley getting a blowjob in the alley behind Republic, which is the bar they all work at. And he was dating another girl at the time. So she lied, and she said that this person saw him getting a blowjob from this person. And then both of those people this season were like, no, I didn't see this. And one of them even said, I didn't see it. I just went along with what she said because I didn't want to like hurt my friend. And he was like, well, wait a minute. You hurt me though. Mm-hmm. So wait, exactly. Like, well, excuse me. Like this girl dumped me because she thought I cheated on her. This girl I really liked. You know what I mean? And now you've got Maddie going on and going after everybody saying, Bradley hates me. All of you guys are terrible. You're horrible people. You're totally after me. Even her boyfriend at the time is like, these people, they don't like you. They're manipulative. They're setting you up. And it's like, the more you hear that, you're like, what is wrong with these people? Like, I'm sorry. Methinks the lady doth protest too much, because if you're calling everybody else manipulative all the time and that this whole group of people is against you, usually not. Usually, there's not conspiracies are very rare, to be honest with you. And I've worked in enough restaurants to know that, like, you know what? A lot of times you just don't have enough time for that. Come on. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely, like, my jaw dropped actually at the end of that. I was like, wait a minute, what? What? She was on this phone call? She heard it all? Oh my. And then she's acting like she's the fucking victim here? Excuse me. She's the one like putting up with her cheating boyfriend. She wants this all to happen. Maybe she knew it happened in the first place. She was just like going along with it. So production didn't know until she said that on camera to everybody. So again, a thing to like for people to remember that production is not always behind this, that these cast members can scheme too. There's real life and real things happen. Production also can like set up scenarios or be like, if this happened off camera, let's recreate it. Let's do this again. Things like that. Or like, you want to have a birthday party. Let's have the birthday, try to have the birthday party at your house because that's a little bit more dramatic. Tom and Ariana, da, 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 da. But when it comes to these things like Salt Lake City, like with the Monica thing, like, yeah, I truly believe that production did not know and that Heather Gay and the women kept it to themselves until that time to make it like more interesting, just like Maddie did this for on Southern Charm. So yeah, exactly. Not Southern Charm, Southern Hospitality, excuse me. But yeah, so I'm excited to watch the Southern Hospitality reunion with LBP on there, as we call her. But yeah. Yeah. And so if you've been sleeping on Southern Hospitality, watch it again this season. I think it's the beginning of it's Pump Rules Junior. Pump Rules Junior, that's what it is. And I think it'll be a force to be reckoned with.
Final watch it, God.
You can wait till next season.
I'll check in 10 seasons from now when the drama's all gone. That's right. When I'll watch is when it's way too late.
When they're old and they're buying homes.
And
be 10 seasons too late, as always.
What's like they have a spinoff? I don't know any other city in South Carolina.
I mean, is there really any other city in South Carolina? Oh my God, people in South Carolina fucking hate us now. Like, I mean, it's Columbia, but that's too far inland. I don't think it has the charm that Charleston does. So yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they already tried to do Southern Charm Savannah and that didn't work. And they tried to do Southern Charm New Orleans and that didn't really work. Yeah. So Charleston's kind of where it's at. Anyway.
Well, on that note, if you want to help us buy tickets to Charleston or open a restaurant anywhere, or I have no idea, whatever we want to do with our lives, please make sure to rate, subscribe, review, and follow the Pretty Corrupt Podcast. And you could also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Pretty Corrupt Podcast, and surprise, on Twitter at Pretty Corrupt One. Of course, on all those accounts, you can find our personal ones linked, which are fun little windows into our journeys of chaos and whatever else we do off mic.
Well said.
Weather events and Botox.
Yeah. On that note, I was gonna try to do some southern thing and be like, top of the morning, y'all, but I mixed up my accent.
Yeah, no, they don't do that. They don't do that.
Nope. Adios. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it. Cause no one can do it like we do it, like we do it, like we do it.